Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio, coming to you live out of Katy, Texas, right outside of Houston, from the Tough Talk Radio Network studios. And super excited, as I am every Sunday, when I get to do Tough Talk Christian Radio and meet people from all across the country and around the world that are just, well, they're telling their stories of things that that's taking place in their lives, the things that God is doing for them, whether it's healing or it's bringing light into their darkness. There's just so many different things that happen in people's lives every day. We could spend endless hours on the show just talking to people, getting them to tell their testimony. And I'm always excited for when I get the opportunity to do the show, because I get to learn. I get to be reminded, and I get to just be a part of witnessing what God is doing in other people's lives. And a lot of times I find that that will allow me to recognize how blessed I am in a lot of different ways, because just as everyone else out there is guilty of being human, we tend to get a little bit caught up in our daily way, in our daily day as well. And so for me, I'm always excited about this opportunity. It gives me that little bit of a boost. I can tell you, an hour ago, I might have been wanting to take a nap on the couch. But when I get on the show, it's, well, let me explain it to you like this. It's kind of like going to church on Sunday morning. When you wake up, you don't always really feel like getting out of bed and going to church. But yet, when you're leaving the parking lot after a sermon that you've heard, you're so thankful that you went because it was something that you really needed to hear. So that's how I am with my shows, with all the shows that we do on Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find out more about those shows by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com and clicking on any of the shows there and registering to be a guest. And you connect with us on social media. We love Facebook and Twitter. So I hope that you'll do that. And if you are someone that has a story to be told, you can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and fill out register to be a guest on the show and select the date that's best available for you, where you can come and share your message with our listeners. So a little bit of housekeeping. You can call into the show at 347-989-1363. Press 1 if you want to talk to the guest, or just listen by phone. Plug it into your car while you're driving. There's no way that you can miss what's going on here. Tough Talk Radio Network has a Facebook page, and so do I, Tony Gambone, and you'll find all the information out about us in those areas. Or, once again, you can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and find your way around that site as well. So, before we bring up our guest, I just want to talk a little bit about some of the things going on in my life, okay? And first of all, I want people to know that if there's something that you need prayers for, you can call into the show at 347-989-1363 and, well, let us know. Or you can email me at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com and we can get our prayer warriors saying some prayers for you as well. I mentioned that we had a guest today. She's a single mom, two teens, a high school teacher, an author, and now a speaker. So she has a big passion for hurting teenagers, and she's very big on helping these teenagers. And there's a whole bunch of good information that you're going to find out later about that. But today I want to speak about something that's going on in my world. A lot of us out there have a very pleasant life. You know, it could be better, I guess. It could surely be worse. But as we look around, we have friends that are doing worse than we are. We might be an illness. It might be a marital struggle. It might be a struggle with their children, or just a struggle with depression, or whatever the struggle may be. It's just a little bit worse off than you have it. So for those people out there, I hope that you will stop and take a minute in your day and pray for them and ask them for help. Ask God for help for them, or whether it's for healing or comfort. in one way or another. If there's a way that you can go out there and volunteer, I find that volunteering is, well, there's no better way to spend your day than being thanked by someone that you've done something for. So there's a few things there that I try to do every day, and I hope that you will as well. I'd like to say that life is just great, but it isn't always great. But I can tell you that it's always great to be here, if that makes any sense. I'm very thankful for being blessed enough to, one, do a radio show, two, to be able to meet people across the country, and three, to have a job and feed my family and take care of things. There's a whole list of things that I would like to have more of, but so don't we all. So for right now, I'm totally blessed to be able to be where I'm at, and I hope people out there will take time to think about how blessed they are. And a lot of times I find that if you write down some of the things that are going on in your world and some of the things that have gone on in your world, you'll see that the yays overrun the nays, so to speak. So take some time out today and reflect on that. And just remember, as I always say, there's that mirror that you have to pass in your house one day or another. And it's always good to look in it and be accountable for who you are and where you want to go. And be the person that makes it happen. And lean on the Lord, because he will help you get there. So my name is Tony Gambone. I am the host of Tough Talk Christian Radio. Today's show is titled Hope and Healing. And we're going to take a short break, and we're going to bring my guest up, Dawn Herbert, and she's calling in from Missouri. We're going to find out a whole bunch about her. So make sure, while we're taking the break, to look her up on Facebook, look us up on Facebook, dial into the show at 347-989-1363 and ask your questions. We'll be right back after this here short break.
Are you dreaming of owning your own business but just don't know where to begin? The wait is now over. All Things Franchising is the radio show that you've been waiting for. Whether you're looking to create a living that will allow you to leave corporate America, change your lifestyle by growing your business, allowing you to experience some of the fun things in life, or if you are looking to build a legacy that will support your family for years to come. Linda Ballesteros is your host on All Things Franchising, where she interviews franchise experts from around the world. We feature top franchisors, franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, as well as others who support this fast-growing business model. Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages to listen to past shows and join the conversations on All Things Franchising.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio. And if you're just tuning in, welcome to the show, and I want to waste no time and bring up our first guest today, Dawn Herbert, who I mentioned is a single mom and of two teens and a high school teacher, an author, and a speaker, and I'll bet she's a very busy lady. So, Dawn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So, Dawn, I mentioned that you were calling in from Missouri. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Missouri originally.
Okay. Okay. So, it says that you're a mother of two teens. How old?
I have a 15-year-old son and a 16-year-old daughter.
Mm. Okay. And a high school teacher. How long have you been doing that?
Yeah. About 10 years.
Mm. Okay. It says that you're an author and a speaker, and I just want to, before we get into digging in deep into the show, I want to find out what your teens think of you being an author.
My personal children, I mean, they think it's cool. They like to brag about it. I will say that neither of them have fully read either of the books. although I published them quietly so they could have a little bit of time to read them before anybody else did, but they're kind of slow on the uptake.
So, you know, we find out later in life that our children are really paying attention. They just don't let us know during the process. And you probably know that it's true by the fact that your parents' words have come out of your mouth more than once at some time or another. So there's proof that they hear us, but it's never at the time we're looking for. So anyway, you're a high school teacher. What grade do you teach in high school?
I teach all of them. I have it's called an instructor position. So from the student's perspective, it looks like a substitute teacher. But from the district perspective, I do a lot more than just come into your class when your teachers are gone. So I have the opportunity to lead a club of international exchange students. And I hang out with, you know, students in extracurricular activities. And I do a lot more than just show up on a morning when the teacher's missing.
Awesome. That's very cool. I don't think our teachers get enough credit for what they do, but that's probably two other shows in itself. And so let's talk about when you were younger, Dawn. Were you someone that was brought to church? When were you introduced to church, and when did you decide that you were a follower of Christ?
I grew up in church, but I grew up in a household where the Word of God was not always appropriately given. It was being misused. It was being used manipulatively. And so at a very young age, I had this desire to know the Word of God for myself, because you come to find out there are things that people say are in there that aren't, things that people say aren't in there that are, and it was a passion of mine, first and foremost. Just the stories of God active in the lives of his people was so powerful to me as a child. And knowing the Word of God for myself was a big goal in my very early life. So I would say, though, that I became a solid follower of Jesus in my early 20s, because I think you can know the Word of God and even have a love relationship with the Lord without really knowing him for himself. And it was probably in my early 20s that I came face to face with the Lord and decided, yes, you are what I want.
I find it interesting. A lot of times it takes a life-threatening situation for us to really turn to the Lord and recognize what's really there. It's sometimes we have to be so deep down in the hole that we'll just do anything, and then we find our way out, and we're so appreciative that we want to learn more. Do you find that with people? Do you find that that they might know the words, they might know how to act, and they might have read the Bible, but until they're in a life-threatening situation, it never seems like they're really appreciative enough of God, myself included.
Absolutely. I think when enough of you is stripped away and enough of your life is stripped away, when you come down to the nakedness of life, if, for lack of a better term, then you look up and you have to reckon with the God that is, and not the God that you want to be, but the God that is.
Yeah. Yeah, amen to that. Now, let me ask you, you're very passionate about teenagers, and I guess teenage years just themselves is a struggle, and in today's society, it's probably, I'm in my early 60s, so it's probably 15 to 20 times more complicated now with social media and cell phones and all the different things that are going on. In today's world, what made you lean towards teenagers?
I was a troubled teenager. I spent years in turmoil. Like I told you, I had an early relationship with my Bible, with the Word, with Bible stories, and a love relationship with God, but I did not have a personal relationship with the Lord. So my teen years were very turbulent. And coming out of it, I thought, man, I would never want to do that again. And I looked around me, and there's all these kids going through it, and nobody's leading them. And so they're hurting, and they're hurting one another. And I knew, based on my own experience as a teenager, that there was a huge possibility that raising my kids as a single mother their whole lives was going to be hard for them. So they... they became my target audience way before they became teenagers. I just went after all the hurting teens, you know, in preparation for bringing my own kids up in that world, because something happens when the hormones kick in and they begin to develop their own identities aside from you, and they try to take on that autonomy. Some of them lose themselves, and I was afraid that was going to happen for my kids. So I just, it was kind of like coming out of, you know, coming out on the Underground Railroad, knowing there's freedom, and going back, you know, time after time for people who need to be rescued.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like I said, I watch, I'm in Houston, Texas, and, you know, there was just another mass shooting, and it's just so scary out there. And when you add all the extra things going wrong in our country, it's really scary. And to have someone that looks after teenagers who are going to be coming, the next generation of people taking care of us, it's very scary, and it's very good that you're doing that. We need more people that are involved in that. I was reading somewhere about all the money from your, a part of your book money goes to teenagers that are incarcerated. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah. So I dedicated any of the profits from the book to the Lord before I even published them. I said, God, I want you to use this money for your glory. And so I decided that any profits from the book, which are very small, the books cost about $5 each, and I, as the author, make about 85 cents of that. Once you do the printing fees and then the fee for the publishing and all that. So I make about 85 cents, and I turn that around, and I buy copies of the book to take to the juvenile detention facilities in our area. We're getting ready to go to some DYS facilities down south and minister to the kiddos there. And then in December, there's like the Operation Christmas Child for kids at the group homes and the orphanages. I don't know what they call those these days, the orphanages. The kids who do not have families, they're going to be giving stockings to all these children, and we're going to put a book in each of the stockings for the teenagers.
Mm. So let's talk about what is in the book. What will a parent that purchases a book to give to their children, what would their children learn from? What would they get out of it? Now, I believe there's three different books. Is that correct?
Two. There's two.
Two. Okay. What would they get out of it?
Healing. You know, a lot of kids perpetually asking, why, God, why is this happening to me? And it goes through the scriptures, you know, talking about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness and wickedness in high places. They're going to get perspective that perhaps they didn't have before, to be, first of all, more forgiving towards others that are going through their own wars, but also to know that there's a love and a peace that surpasses all understanding found in God that can help in these trying times. You know, and it's tempting to blame God for what's happening, but when you read the scriptures, it's very clear that we're at war, and both books talk about that, you know, Satan is trying to derail the children of God and throw them off course and try to get them to not follow his leading, his guidance. And they're going to see that very clearly through their own circumstances in the scriptures lined up with that.
Now, do you find that teenagers, do you find them quizzing you about if it's God's really there, if it's science? Especially, I guess, teenagers, they're not so easily convinced to believe what an adult is saying all the time. I mean, they seem to be smarter, right? So do you find that a challenge?
They know everything.
Yeah.
Yes. The world, especially today, that message of, you know, it's just a belief system, and you can believe in whatever you want, and you can feel however you want, and if it doesn't match your feelings, then move on and feel something else. And And I actually have had this conversation in my own home with my son, which was very difficult because I've raised him with the Word of God. Like, and perhaps that's why he hasn't read the book, is because he's heard these things his whole life. But absolutely, it's hard for kids to accept that first of all, there is a higher authority than your own feelings. And there is something else in the universe going on besides what's revolving around your world. So I would say that's probably like the number one battle before you can get any closer to them is that whole question of, does God exist to begin with?
Yeah. And in their defense, they can't Google them. They can't see them on YouTube. I mean, there's a lot of things that they can say that they can't do to really smell or touch God. But when you get into the juveniles that are in incarcerated in the detention centers and stuff like that, do you find that they're more willing to come to terms with that because of the situation that they're in versus children that are just in, you know, going along in their happy way during the day?
I believe so, because they're isolated. And I don't know if anybody else recognizes this, but God really talks when people are isolated, when they're alone by themselves, when they're quiet, is when he can really get our attention. And I believe that incarceration is probably a blessing to most of these kids, because they have time to pull away from the chaos that is their life and the chaos that's in their mind, and they have enough time just to be still, which is probably something they've never had before, because a lot of them are just fighting moment to moment to survive. So when they get in that setting, they've got a lot of time to think and to listen. And so to hand them this book, and, you know, the whole is God real is in that book. You know, like, it talks about the warrior book. The chapter is called Your Commanding Officer. And in the princess book, it's called Your Father, the King of Kings. So in both of those books, it addresses who God is, what Scripture says about him, how we can know that he is. And, you know, I just feel like it leaves no stone unturned. You're not looking when you get done reading it, because all the evidence, all the scriptural evidence, and it's lined up with your life, because that's what the Bible says. It says that there's no excuse to not know God, because he's made himself evident through everything that we see. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's unfortunate that we have to get into situations, whether our health is going downhill or, you know, we made one wrong decision and we're incarcerated. And a lot of teenagers that have made just one bad choice changes their whole life around. And a lot of times they're just left behind. I remember visiting a place for teens with a organization here in the Houston area, and you know, the teens do their, you know, 60, 90, 1 year, whatever their period of time is that they're there. When they come out, there's no facility for them to go to be better, or to not go back into the same circumstances, whether it's gang related or bad housing, or you know, the family that just doesn't have time for them. So what you're doing is important, and giving them something to lean on. Is there something that you're looking to do with these juveniles when they exit? Is there some type of exit program where you can either direct them to a place that's better? Because what keeps them from going back to the same situation?
Yeah, honestly, I hadn't thought of that. I really hope that over the course of time, the church would take up that mantle, because the church has to be the hands and feet of Christ. And we're not moving. We're not reaching the lost. You know, we're kind of just in our own sound tunnel, and we're saying the same things over and over to each other. We're ministering to one another, but there's a world out there that needs us to be open and available to their hurt, and to get I guess, you know, the scripture says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send harvesters out into the field to work. And really, that's what needs to happen. People need to come out of these facilities knowing that they can go to church and be accepted. You know, for many years, it's like, no, we don't want you here. You're not like us. You're not trying, whatever. I don't know what ideas have taken over the church to such a degree that people don't feel welcome, but they don't. And really, I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of churches are about the numbers. And, you know, I mean, church is a business, right? And a lot of people, it's a tough spot. You know, I don't say that the pastor or the preacher is in it for the money. Of course, I believe they're not. But at the end of the day, they got to pay their bills. So it sort of starts to become more of the number of members. It's just, it's there's a fine line there. And I always say that, like, when people are sick and they're desperate, you know, and they find the Lord and they're thankful. But as they heal and they get better and life keeps on continuing in their ways, just like a teenager who did their little bit and they're back out again, they tend to forget about where they were so easily. And we're all guilty of it, you know. And I noticed because of my own guilt of it. And so it's really important that when these young teenagers exit out of the program that they're being kept in, that there's a process. And that was my question when I visited a facility. The stuff that people were doing there was great, but where's the continuation of it? Where do they go from there? And, you know, you've written a couple of books that will help either a boy or a girl in the teenage years. But after they read that book, what is the next thing that they can go to? Is there anyone that you have partnered with, you know, an organization or something, or even the church, where they can continue that process? Because one person like yourself is doing great things, but, you know, it takes so many people, and you have your own life, your family, your children, your job. And so what other ways can people continue that exit strategy from that teen process?
To be honest, I really hadn't thought that far. But I will say that by the end of the book, readers hopefully are encouraged in their walk with God to find their safety and their comfort in Him and to be zealous for the Word. And I think once you find that comfort, you don't necessarily need the approval of the world. And if you have that relationship with the Lord where you have begun to seek Him out, and I know this sounds, I only say this because this is my own experience, God is able to fill that gap, that need. Not a lot of people are willing to go there with Him because it is painful. It is lonely. But God is able to do what no man could ever do for us, and sometimes what no man is willing to do for us. And so because I hadn't thought that far, and obviously there isn't a place that society has stepped up to capture these boys and girls once they come out, I hope that readers will, until the church steps up and is that they will seek God in doing that. You know, in my own home, I personally have flung the door wide open, and my son spent a couple weeks in juvenile detention this summer, and he had a couple friends over the other day that, you know, he was telling me they had a past, and my initial reaction as a mother is, why did you bring, for lack of a better word, why did you bring criminals into my home? And he said, Mom, you know, by the criteria that you're using, I'm a criminal too. And it just, like, it hit me in the face. I was like, you know, that is true. And I have to look at my son like he's a new person. Then I have to be willing to look at these other kids as if they are capable of turning over that new stone every day. And I feel like once we get past that fear of that they're just going to fall back into that trap, and we can really start to encourage them, that will help a lot of these kiddos escape that lifestyle.
Well, yeah, it's, and you have to you have to give them that opportunity to show the change, because if we keep accusing them, then what's the reason to change? You're going to be accused of it anyway. And that's hard because as a parent, we're very protective of our own children, but yet as a follower of the Lord, we're supposed to love everybody. It's not an easy gig. I mean, it's just not easy at all, but I know, and I want to make sure, Dawn, that I say this. I was bringing those things up for the reason that people out there listening might be able to come and help you. It wasn't to say that, you know, what you're doing is great, but after that, nothing's there. I want others to be able to know that there's opportunity for them. If they're in Missouri or in Wisconsin or Pennsylvania, it doesn't matter. There's people that need to band together to help people like yourself that are out there leading the cause. You have to be able to pass the baton off, because you just can't do it all yourself. So by bringing those opportunities up, that allows other people to know that there is something they can do to help you. So let me ask you this. Where can people find your book?
My book's on Amazon. They can just Google Books by Dawn Herbert, and both of them will pop up.
Okay. And how can they get a hold of you to come and speak? Because I want to talk about that. Tell them how they can get a hold of you, and then we'll dig into that a little bit.
Sure. So I guess the best way at the moment, I'm in the process of building the website, but I don't have it done yet, because this all kind of came at me very quickly. I wasn't expecting the Lord to open the doors that He's opened. So I guess I should have been, but I wasn't. So right now, probably the best way would be to email me at dawnbherbert@gmail.com. I do have a Facebook page, and I do have Facebook Messenger, and it's just Dawn Herbert. But then again, the email is probably the best way.
Okay. And so I love the fact that God's got you running to catch up, okay? That'll keep you from giving up. And I'm on Amazon, and there's the book is, if you just type in Dawn Herbert, and the word Amazon, the books will come up. There's Warrior, there's Princess, and did you write Redemption's Road as well?
Yes, I did. Okay. I actually, that one is not in print, is not going out in print right now. I had an internal conflict after I published it where I was like, I'm not sure if I'm really ready for the world to have this book. So I pulled it after publishing it, because I just thought it's a fiction book, and it is very in your face. If you're a Christian, I feel like it is going to hit you with some really hardcore truths that the Lord shared with me as He was taking me through my healing process. And I don't want to be unkind to the church, but I did want the church to know you're hurting people. And so basically some of that came out in the writing. And also there were some parts that made me uncomfortable. It's the story of Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And Mary had a sexual past, you know. And I had to create a storyline. And it also made me feel really icky. So I wanted to minister to people who had a sexual past, that, you know, that Jesus would take them on and walk with them and heal them. But I didn't want to turn them off by being so graphic, I guess. And it made me feel icky. So I still have not reconciled myself with it.
Now, let me ask you, do you think that there's other people out there that have gone through that same struggle, and maybe that book could help them as well? Maybe it could be just edited a little bit differently, so that at the end of it, it brings them back to where you want to go. Or maybe it is the truth of how you felt, and that should be put out there as well.
Yeah, I definitely think there's healing in it, because everything that the Lord says to Mary and His journey with her is things that the Lord spoke to me as He was taking me out of my hurt and pain. as he was healing me from the past. And it's powerful. I read that book and it's like I'm healed all over again. It's so quenching to hear Jesus say some of the things he said to her and to the way that he redeemed her. And honestly, I love the scriptures. So all three of my books are more scripturally worded than even my own voice. It's more of the Lord's than mine, because it's his work. It's his finished business. It's his redemption for us. And I don't ever want to try to put into my own words something that God has already so powerfully said.
I'll tell you, it takes a lot to be honest, and I think writing is a form of healing, and that book might have helped you heal. But I also think that we're all able to do something, or the things that we do are to help others. And a lot of times during that process, we think, I kind of feel icky, but we don't really understand the ripple effect that it might have to help others. And maybe that's why the Lord put that on you to do that. And that's why he's opening up so many doors for you now to get out there and speak, because I would assume that there's way more of an area besides teenagers that you could be speaking to. So
I would agree with that.
Don't beat yourself up too much over that book.
Thank you.
The show goes really fast on it, I like for people to learn who you are and why you do what you do. And I always say that I want people to know who you are, what you do, and why you're crazy enough to keep doing it. And I mean, you have two teenagers, you're a high school teacher, and you're a single mom, and you're an author and a speaker, and you're starting to speak. So I'm sure you have very, very busy days. But what keeps you going? What is that just keeps you going doing it?
Every time I watch somebody and find freedom, every time I watch somebody be baptized, I cry because I remember that feeling of just being accepted after everything that I've done, that Jesus still loves me and still wants me. And there's no greater feeling in the world. And for people to be living without that knowledge is heartbreaking to me, because the world is so harsh, and so many of us are unaccepted, and we are made to feel so unworthy, and we're isolated, and we're broken, and we don't know where to turn. And I have found that just deep satisfaction, that quenching of that inner thirst in me in Christ, and I know how wonderful it is, and I love seeing it happen to other people. And so that zealousness to look at other people and know that they have hope inside of them that cannot be stolen. How can we not be sharing what Christ has done for us?
I love it. And just so you know, I'm 63, and I found the Lord, I think 9 years ago, and maybe it's 10 now. And when I'm in church, for some unknown reason, my eyes keep leaking. I don't know what it is. They say the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's the madness seeping out. I'm not sure, but it's a crazy thing. It really is a crazy thing. And so I just think that it's really cool that you can have that feel for others who haven't even begun to understand the journey yet, because the longer you follow the Lord, the harder it becomes, I think. When I first started following the Lord, I thought, this is easy, just do all this. And then the more I learned, the harder it became. And every day is a struggle. But thank God that I have someone to talk to about it that can get me through it. And, you know, I have children as well, and they might not be big believers of the Lord. And I tell them, hey, why don't you show me in the Bible that show me where it's wrong, because I'd hate to be known as a sucker, right? Because most of the people that challenge all that and research it all become pastors. So I just think it's crazy, but I pray that my children will find the Lord as well. And it seems as though you've already got your children there. So that's big to me. So
thank you. God is still working on both of my kids. As a youth leader, I know that you can raise a kid up in your home under the Lord, and they're still going to have to develop their own personal relationship with Him. And I would preach that to parents when my kids were really little. Of course, I knew that was true, and I would say that to parents. And then my kids became teenagers, and I watched it start to unravel. You know, everything that I had ever said to them, everything that I had taught them, and it was like, what, are you losing your mind? This is not how I raised you, you know? And so... My son in particular has kind of grappled with his faith, and you know, I am prepared should my daughter ever question or need to dabble in the world for a while. I'm prepared for that because the Bible assures me that if we raise a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. So I am going to watch my kids possibly fall away from their faith at some point, you know, and I'm going to pray over them, and I'm going to love them through their worst moments. And God has promised me that victory.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not always easy to watch. But
right. It's really not. Yeah. I've had all kinds of come apart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and it only gets better, so they say. My children are you know, adults now. I have one that's 30 and one that's 24. And, you know, it's, you know, as a parent, you just can't understand why your children get stuck on stupid. It's just so you know, so easy to see it. But for them, they're in a different place. And all we can do is support them with love and help them and try not to enable them. And, you know, they... A lot of times they do too many things for everyone. Their parents do too much for their children. They got to bounce off the ground at least once before they're going to realize that it hurts. So it's a tough gig.
Yeah.
It really is. But thankfully, we have someone that we can lean on and pray to. So, hey, our time is up. I always ask one more question. So the Tough Talk Christian Radio, the tough question of the day is, it's not really that tough, but what would you tell people out there that they need to do to better their wear? You know, just something that you carry along with you that they can maybe lean on, or some piece of advice or something to watch out for in this coming year.
Sure. So the best thing that the Lord ever shared with me is that His shoulders are big enough to handle everything that we want to lay on Him. So I feel like some people, they're not sure if they're praying right, or they're not sure if they're saying the right things, or when they are praying, they're not sure if it's pleasing to God because of the way that they said it or whatever. God is bigger than that. That is human problem. You know, God has never stepped on a miscommunication with us. So He's hearing everything that we are saying and everything that we even aren't saying to Him. And so I just would encourage people to pray and to seek Him, because the Bible says He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. And it also says that God would not have it that anyone should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life through Christ. And I just want people to know that first of all, God loves you. He may not love the sin you're in or the place that you're at, but He loves you. And that there is no right or wrong way to come to Him. You know, in First or Second Samuel, the Bible says David went into the temple and sat before the Lord. He didn't kneel, he wasn't on his face, and he wasn't in some prescribed manner of conversation with God. He just went in and sat down and had a real conversation, like person to person, but with the God of the universe. And so I would just encourage people, lay down all those expectations that other people have put on you in your approach to God, and just be real with Him, because He's big enough to handle it.
I like that. I like it. So just show up, basically.
Just show up. Say what you got to say, you know, and even if the words don't come out, even if they're bad words, okay, can we just be real here? Even if they're bad words, you know, at least you're having a conversation with God. And God knows how to humble us, and he knows how to put us in our place if we need to, but he also knows how to love us in our bad moments. He's a parent, too.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I catch myself rewording what I'm saying when I'm having that conversation with him. He already knew what we were going to say before we say it, so what's the big deal, right? So, anyway, crazy. But, Dawn, thank you so much for giving your time to our listeners today and for what you're doing with people in your area and taking time to write books and give the proceeds to a worthy cause. And is there another book coming out?
There shall be in the future. I just don't know when.
Okay. All right. Well, I always recommend this to my authors on the shows. Write a book about your life. Tell people who you are. Let them know your journey that God has had you on and off and on and off so that they have some more relatable information. The more transparent we are, the more people want to follow. And becoming an author and a speaker, that'll get you a lot more speaking gigs. So think about telling your own story.
You're not the first one to say that to me, so I think that may be what I work on next.
Yeah, God doesn't do this for any reason. He has a funny sense of humor, but I'll tell you, it's well worth it at the end. So I hope to have you back on the show. When the next book comes out, please join us. And we just say thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts for sharing and doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Folks, that's our show for today. Time does go fast. And I just hope that everyone will take time out to reach out and buy the book, Dawn Herbert, through Amazon. Type in the word Dawn Herbert, Amazon.com, and her books will come up. Also, you can send an email to her to connect with her or get her on Facebook, but it's DawnBHerbert@gmail.com. DawnBHerbert@gmail.com. Make sure to reach out to her, connect with her. She's doing some awesome things. That's our show for today. Make sure to tune in next week and join us on Tough Talk Christian Radio. I hope everyone has a blessed week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.